Continuation concerning the Grand Man and correspondence therewith. 3741. The celestial kingdom presents the form of one man, for the reason that all the things therein correspond to the only Lord, that is, to his divine human, who alone is man. See number 49, 288, 565, 1894. From correspondence with him, and from being an image and likeness of him, heaven is called the Grand Man. From the divine of the Lord come in heaven all the celestial things which are of good, and all the spiritual things which are of truth. All the angels there are forms, that is, substances formed according to the reception of the divine things which are from the Lord. The divine things of the Lord, as received by the angels, are what are called things celestial and spiritual, because in them the divine life, together with the divine light, thence derived, come forth and are modified as in their recipients. From this it is that the forms and material substances with man are also of the same nature, but in a lower degree, because grosser and more composite. That these also are forms recipient of celestial and spiritual things is very evident from signs that are clearly visible, as from thought, which flows into the organic forms of the tongue and produces speech, from the affections of the mind, which present themselves visible in the face, and from the will, which by the muscular forms flow into actions, and so on. Thought and will, which produce such effects, are spiritual and celestial, whereas the forms or substances which receive them and carry them into act are material. And it is evident that these latter have been formed altogether for the reception of the former, and thus it is evident that the latter are from the former, and that unless they were from them, they could not have come forth such as they are. 3742. That there is one only life, which is from the Lord alone, and that angels, spirits, and men are only recipients of life, has been made known to me by experience so manifold as to leave not even the slightest doubt. Heaven itself is in the perception that this is the case, insomuch that the angels manifestly perceive the influx and how it flows in, and likewise the fullness and quality of their reception of it. When they are in a fuller state of reception, they are then in their peace and happiness. Otherwise, they are in a state of unrest and of a certain anxiety. Nevertheless, the life of the Lord is so appropriated to them as to cause them to feel that they live from themselves, but yet they know that it is not from themselves. The appropriation of the Lord's life comes from his love and mercy toward the universal human race, in that he wills to give himself to everyone and all that is his, and in that he actually does give them in so far as they receive, that is to say, in so far as they are in the life of good and in the life of truth, as being likenesses and images of him. And as such a divine endeavor is continually proceeding from the Lord, as before said, his life is appropriated. 3743. But they who are not in love to the Lord and toward their neighbor, consequently who are not in the life of good and truth, are not able to acknowledge that there is only one influent life, and still less that this life is from the Lord. But all such are indignant, nay, feel aversion, when it is said that they do not live from themselves. The love of self is the cause of this. And wonderful to say, although shown by living experience in the other life, that they do not live from themselves, and although being at the time convinced, they say that it is so, yet afterwards they persist in the same opinion, and imagine that if they lived from another and not from themselves, all the delight of their life would perish, for they are not aware that the reverse is the truth. For this reason the wicked appropriate evil to themselves, because they do not believe that evils are from hell, and good cannot be appropriated to them, because they believe good to be from themselves and not from the Lord. Nevertheless, the wicked, and also those in hell, are forms recipient of life from the Lord, but such forms that they either reject or suffocate or pervert good and truth, and thus the goods and truths which are from the Lord's life become with them evils and falsities. The case herein is like that of the light of the sun, which, although single and white, is yet varied as it passes through or flows into various forms, and thereby produces beautiful and pleasing colors, as well as those which are not beautiful and not pleasing. 3744. From all this it is now evident what is the nature of heaven, and from what ground heaven is called the grand man. That is to say, the varieties as regards the life of good and truth therein are innumerable, and are in accordance with the reception of life from the Lord. These varieties have a relation to each other altogether similar to that which subsists between the organs, members, and viscera in man, all of which are forms in perpetual variety recipient of life from their soul, or rather through their soul from the Lord. And yet notwithstanding they are in such variety, they together constitute one man. 3745. How great this variety is, and of what nature, may be seen from the variety in the human body. It is known that one organ or member is not like another. For instance, that the organ of sight is not like the organ of hearing, and that the same is true of the organ of smelling, the organ of taste, and also the organ of touch, which last is diffused throughout the whole body. So also with the members, the arms, hands, loins, feet, and soles of the feet, and also with the viscera that lie hidden within, as those of the head, namely the cerebrum, cerebellum, medulla oblongata, and medulla spinalis, with all the minute organs, viscera, vessels, and fibers of which they are composed. Also those belonging to the body below the head, as the heart, lungs, stomach, liver, pancreas, spleen, intestines, mesentery, and kidneys, and also those which are appropriated to generation in both sexes. It is known that all of these, both in general and in particular, are dissimilar in form and in function, so dissimilar that they are entirely different. In like manner there are forms within forms, which also are of such variety that no one form nor even one particle is altogether like another, that is to say, so like that it may be substituted in place of it, without some alteration, however slight. All these things in both general and particular correspond to the heavens, but in such a manner that the things with man that are corporeal and material are there celestial and spiritual, and they correspond in such a way that it is from this that they come forth and subsist. 3746. In general, all these varieties bear relation to the things of the head, of the chest, of the abdomen, and to those of the members of generation, in like manner to the things which are interior and to those which are exterior in each of these. 3747. I have occasionally conversed with spirits concerning the learned of our age, that they know only the distinction of man into internal and external, and this not from any reflection on the interior things of the thoughts and affections in themselves, but from the word of the Lord, and that still they are ignorant what the internal man is, and that many even have doubts as to whether it exists, and also deny its existence, because they do not live the life of the internal man, but that of the external, and because they are so much led astray by the appearance as regards brute animals, in their seeming like themselves in respect to organs, viscera, senses, appetites, and affections. And it was said that the learned know less about such subjects than the simple, and that still they seem to themselves to know much more, for they dispute about the intercourse of the soul and body, and even about the nature of the soul as to what it is, when yet the simple know that the soul is the internal man, and that it is man's spirit which is to live after the death of the body, also that it is the real man which is in the body. And further it was said that more than the simple, the learned make themselves out to be like the brutes, and ascribe all things to nature and scarcely anything to the divine. And still further, that they do not reflect that as distinguished from brute animals, man has a capacity for thinking about heaven and about God, and thereby of being elevated above himself, consequently of being conjoined with the Lord by love, and thus that men cannot but live after death to eternity. And it was added that they are especially ignorant that all things whatsoever belonging to man depend on the Lord through heaven, and that heaven is the grand man, to which correspond all things in man in both general and particular, and also all things in nature. And possibly, when they shall hear and read these things, they will seem to them like paradoxes, and unless experience confirms them, they will reject them as a fanciful affair, as they will also do when they shall hear that there are 3 degrees of life in man, as there are 3 degrees of life in the heavens, that is, 3 heavens, and that man so corresponds to the 3 heavens that when he is in the life of good and truth, and by this life an image of the Lord, he is himself in image a little heaven. I have been instructed concerning these degrees of life, that it is the last or ultimate degree of life which is called the external or natural man, by which man is like animals as regards concupiscences and fantasies, that it is the 2nd degree of life which is called the internal and rational man, by which man is above animals, for it is through this that he is able to think and will what is good and true, and have dominion over the natural man, by restraining and also rejecting his concupiscences and the resultant fantasies, and also by reflecting within himself concerning heaven, nay, concerning the divine, which brute animals are altogether incapable of doing. And lastly, that the 3rd degree of life is that which is the most unknown to man, although it is that through which the Lord inflows into the rational mind, whereby man has the faculty of thinking as a man, and also has conscience, and perception of what is good and true, and also elevation by the Lord toward himself. But these things are remote from the ideas of the learned of this age, who merely dispute whether a thing exists, and who, so long as they do this, cannot know that it does exist, and still less what it is. 3748. There was a certain spirit who, while he had lived in the world, had gained a great public reputation for learning, being of a subtle genius in confirming falsities, but very stupid as regards goods and truths. As he had previously done in this world, he imagined that he knew everything, for such spirits believe themselves to be most wise, and that nothing is hidden from them, and such as they have been in the life of the body, such they remain in the other life. For all things that belong to anyone's life, that is, which are of his love and affection, follow him and are in him as the soul is in its body, because from these he has formed and given quality to his soul. This spirit came to me and conversed with me, and because he was of such a quality, I asked him, "Who is the more intelligent, he who knows many falsities, or he who knows a little truth?" He replied, "He who knows a little truth." The reason of his giving this answer was that he imagined that the falsities which he knew were truths, and thus that he was wise. He afterwards desired to reason about the grand man, and about the influx therefrom into everything of man. But as he understood nothing about it, I asked him how, seeing that the thing which moves is spiritual, and that which is moved is corporeal, he understood the fact that thought, which is spiritual, moves the whole face and exhibits its own expression, and also moves all the organs of speech, and this distinctly according to the spiritual perception of such thought, and that the will moves the muscles of the whole body, and the thousands of fibers dispersed throughout it, to one action. But he knew not what answer to give. I conversed further with him on the nature of endeavor, and asked him whether he knew that endeavor produces actions and motions, and that all action and motion must have endeavor within them in order that they may come forth and subsist. He replied that he did not know this, and he was therefore asked how he could desire to reason, seeing that he did not know even first principles, in which case reasoning is like scattered dust with no coherence, which falsities dissipate in such a manner that at last the man knows nothing, and consequently believes nothing. 3749. A certain spirit came to me unawares and flowed into my head. Spirits are distinguished according to their influx into different parts of the body. I wondered who and whence he was. But after he had been silent for some time, the angels who were with me said that he had been taken from among the spirits who were with a certain learned man still living in the world, who had gained extraordinary reputation for his learning. Communication was also then given through this intermediate spirit with the thought of that man. I asked the spirit what idea this learned man was enabled to form concerning the grand man, and concerning its influx and consequent correspondence. He said that he could form no idea. He was next asked what idea he had of heaven. He said that he had none at all, except blasphemous ones, as that people there are always playing on musical instruments, such as rustics are wont to make a sound with. And yet this man is held in high estimation, and is believed to know what influx is, and what the soul is, and what is the nature of its intercourse with the body. And possibly it is believed that he knows better than other men what heaven is. From this it is evident what sort of men are now the teachers of others, namely, that from mere objections and difficulties they oppose the goods and truths of faith, although they publish the contrary. 3750. What kind of idea of heaven those have, who are believed to have more than ordinary communication therewith and influx thence, was also shown me to the life. They who appear above the head are those who in the world had been desirous to be worshipped as deities, and with whom the love of self had been exalted to the utmost height by successive steps of power, and by a consequent imaginary liberty. They are also deceitful under the appearance of innocence and love to the Lord. From the fantasy of height, they appear on high above the head, but nevertheless are beneath the feet in hell. One of these spirits let himself down to me, and others informed me that in the world he had been a pope. He conversed with me very courteously, first concerning Peter and his keys, which he imagined he himself was in possession of. But when he was questioned concerning the power of admitting into heaven whomsoever he pleased, he was found to have so gross an idea of heaven that he represented a kind of door which gave entrance. And he said that he opened that door to the poor gratis, but that the rich paid according to their ability, and that what they paid was holy. Being asked whether he believed that those whom he had admitted remained there, he said that he did not know, but if not, they went out again. He was then told that he could not know their interiors as to whether they were worthy, and that they might be robbers who will be in hell. He answered that this was no concern of his, and if they were not worthy, they might be sent out. But he was instructed what is meant by the keys of Peter, namely the faith of love and charity. And inasmuch as the Lord alone gives such faith, therefore it is the Lord alone who admits into heaven, and that Peter does not appear to anyone, and that he is a simple spirit who has no more power than others. He had no other opinion about the Lord than that he ought to be worshipped in so far as he gives such power, but if he should not give it, it was perceived that he thought he ought not to be worshipped. Further in conversing with him concerning the internal man, he was found to have an unclean idea of it. The liberty, fullness, and delight of the respiration he enjoyed when he sat upon his throne in the consistory, and believed that he spoke from the Holy Spirit, was shown me to the life. He was let into a state similar to that in which he had been when present there, for in the other life everyone can easily be let into the state of life he had in the world, because the state of his life remains with him after death. And his respiration was communicated to me, such as he then had. It was free and attended with delight, slow, regular, deep, filling the breast. But when he was contradicted, there was somewhat, as it were, rolling itself and creeping in the abdomen from the continuation of the respiration. And when he supposed that what he was laying down was divine, he perceived it from the respiration being more tacit and, as it were, in agreement therewith. I was afterwards shown by whom such popes are directed, namely by a crowd of sirens who are above the head, who have contracted a nature and life of insinuating themselves into all kinds of affections, with a design to exercise command and to subject others to themselves, and to destroy for the sake of self all they are able to destroy, using for this purpose holiness and innocence as means. They are timid on their own account and act cautiously, but when occasion offers, they will for the sake of self rush into cruelty without mercy. Chapter the 29th, 3751. By way of preface to the preceding chapter, an explication was given of what the Lord foretold in Matthew 24, verses 15 to 18, concerning the last time of the church. Following this order, there are now to be unfolded, by way of preface to the present chapter, the contents of the succeeding verses 19 to 22, namely the words, "But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be great affliction, such as was not since the beginning of the world, even until now, neither shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be preserved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." 3752. No one can possibly comprehend the signification of these words unless he is enlightened by the internal sense. That they are not said concerning the destruction of Jerusalem appears from many things in the chapter, as from this: "Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be preserved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And from the following: "After the affliction of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory." And from other passages: "That neither are the words now under consideration said concerning the destruction of the world is also evident from many things contained in the same chapter, as from those which precede: He that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house, and he who is in the field, let him not return back to take his garments." And also from these now brought under consideration: "Pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath." And from the following: "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left." But it is evident that the words in question are said concerning the last time of the church, that is, concerning its vastation. For the church is said to be vastated when there is no longer any charity. 3753. Everyone who thinks about the Lord with reverence and who believes that the divine was in him and that he spoke from the divine is able to know and believe that the above words, like the rest the Lord taught and spoke, were not spoken of one nation only, but of the universal human race, and not of its worldly, but of its spiritual state. And also that the Lord's words comprehended the things which are of his kingdom and of the church, for these are divine and eternal. Whoever believes in this manner concludes that these words, "Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days," do not signify those who are with child and give suck, and that the words, "Pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath," do not signify any flight on account of worldly enemies, and so in regard to the rest. 3754. In the preceding verses there were treated of three states of the perversion of good and truth in the church, and in the present verses a fourth state is treated of, which is also the last. Concerning the first state, it was shown that it was that men began no longer to know what was good and true, but disputed among themselves concerning good and truth, whence came falsities. Number 3354. Concerning the second state, that it was that men began to despise good and truth, and also to hold them in aversion, and thus that faith in the Lord was about to expire, according to the degrees in which charity was about to cease. Number 3487, 3488. Concerning the third state, that it was a state of desolation of the church in respect to good and truth, number 3651, 3652. Concerning the fourth state, we are now to show that it is that of the profanation of good and truth. That this state is here described may be seen from all the particulars in the internal sense, which is as follows. 3755. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, signifies those who have been imbued with the good of love to the Lord and the good of innocence. Woe is a form of expression signifying the danger of eternal damnation. To be with child is to conceive the good of celestial love. To give suck is also a state of innocence. Those days denote the states in which the church then is. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath, signifies removal from those things, that it be not done precipitately in a state of too much cold or of too much heat. Flight is removal from a state of the good of love and of innocence, just now spoken of. Flight in the winter is removal therefrom in a state of too much cold. Cold is when there is aversion to love and innocence, which is induced by the loves of self. Flight on the Sabbath is removal from them in a state of too much heat. Heat is external sanctity, while within are the love of self and the love of the world. For then shall be great affliction, such as was not since the beginning of the world even until now, neither shall be. Signifies the highest degree of the perversion and vastation of the church in respect to good and truth, which is profanation. For profanation of what is holy occasions death, eternal, and much more grievous than any other states of evil, and so much the more grievous in proportion as the goods and truths profaned are of a more interior kind. And inasmuch as such interior goods and truths are open and known in the Christian church and are profaned, it is said that then shall be great affliction such as was not from the beginning of the world even until now, neither shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be preserved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Signifies the removal of those who are of the church from interior goods and truths to exterior, so that those may still be saved who are in the life of good and truth. By the days being shortened is signified a state of removal. By no flesh being preserved is signified that otherwise none could be saved. By the elect are signified those who are in the life of good and truth. 3756. That this is the internal sense of these words could be fully shown, as that by those who are with child are signified those who first become imbued with good, and that by those who give suck are signified those who become imbued with a state of innocence, that by flight is signified removal from good and innocence, by winter aversion to such goods through the love of self taking possession of the interiors, and by flight on the Sabbath profanation, which takes place when there is holiness in externals and the love of self and the world within. But as the same words and similar expressions occur throughout in what follows, of the Lord's divine mercy their signification shall then be shown to be such as is here stated. 3757. But as regards the profanation of what is holy, few know what it is. Yet this can be seen from what has been already stated and shown concerning it, namely, that those are able to profane holy things who know, acknowledge, and become imbued with good and truth, but not those who do not acknowledge, and still less those who do not know them. See number 593, 1008, 1010, 1059, 3398. Thus that they who are within the church can profane holy things, but not they who are without it, number 2051. That they who are of the celestial church can profane holy goods, and that they who are of the spiritual church can profane holy truths, number 3399. That therefore interior truths were not disclosed to the Jews, lest they should profane them, number 3398. That the Gentiles can least of all profane, number 2051. that profanation is a commingling and conjunction of good and evil, and also of truth and falsity, number 1001, 1003, 24, 26. That this was signified by the eating of blood, which was so severely prohibited in the Jewish church, number 1003. That therefore, insofar as possible, men are withheld from the acknowledgement and faith of good and truth, unless they are able to remain therein, number 3398, 3402. And that on this account they are kept in ignorance, number 301 to 303, and that worship also becomes external, number 1327, 1328. That internal truths are not revealed until the church has been vastated, because then good and truth can no longer be profaned, number 3398, 3399. That this was the reason why the Lord then first came into the world, number 3398. How great a danger there is from the profanation of what is holy and of the word, number 571, 582. Chapter 29, verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his feet and went to the land of the sons of the east. 2. And he saw, and behold, a well in the field, and behold there three droves of the flock lying by it, for out of that well they watered the droves, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. 3. And all the droves were gathered together thither, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock, and they put the stone in its place again upon the well's mouth. 4. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence are ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. 5. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. 6. And he said unto them, Hath he peace? And they said, Peace. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the flock. 7. And he said, Behold, as yet the day is great. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water ye the flock, and go and feed them. 8. And they said, We cannot until all the droves are gathered together, and they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then shall we water the flock. 9. While he was yet speaking with them, Rachel came with the flock which was her father's, for she was a shepherdess. 10. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the flock of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob came near, and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. 11. And Jacob kissed Rachel, and lifted up his voice, and wept. 12. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. 13. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. 14. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he dwelt with him a month of days. 15. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall be thy reward? 16. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. 17. And Leah's eyes were weak, and Rachel was beautiful in form and beautiful in look. 18. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel thy younger daughter. 19. And Laban said, It is better that I should give her to thee than give her to another man. Abide with me. 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they were in his eyes as a few days, for the love he had to her. 21. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my woman, for my days are fulfilled, and I will come to her. 22. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and made a feast. 23. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter, and brought her to him, and he came to her. 24. And Laban gave her Zilpha his handmaid unto his daughter Leah for a handmaid. 25. And it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? And why hast thou defrauded me? 26. And Laban said, It is not so done in our place to give the younger before the firstborn. 27. Fulfill this week, and we will give thee her also, for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. 28. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled this week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter for a woman. 29. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter, Bilhah his handmaid, to be to her for a handmaid. 30. And he came also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. 31. And Yehowah saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb, and Rachel was barren. 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, Because Yehowah hath seen my affliction, for now my man will love me. 33. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Because Yehowah hath heard that I was hated, and hath given me this one also. And she called his name Simeon. 34. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Now this time will my man cleave to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore she called his name Levi. 35. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, This time I will confess Yehowah. Therefore she called his name Judah, and she stood still from bearing. The Contents, 3758. In the internal sense of this chapter, by Jacob is described the Lord's natural, how the good of truth therein was conjoined with kindred good from a divine origin, which good is Laban, at first through the affection of external truth, which is Leah, and then through the affection of internal truth, which is Rachel. 3759. Afterwards, by the birth of the 4 sons of Jacob by Leah, is described in the supreme sense the ascent from external truth to internal good, but in the representative sense, the state of the church, which is such that it does not acknowledge and receive the internal truths that are in the Word, but external truths. And this being the case, it ascends to interior things according to this order, namely, that at first it has the truth which is said to be of faith, next, practice according to this truth, afterwards, the consequent charity, and finally, celestial love. These 4 degrees are signified by the 4 sons of Jacob born of Leah, namely, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. The internal sense, 3760, verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his feet and went to the land of the sons of the east. And Jacob lifted up his feet signifies the elevation of the natural, and went to the land of the sons of the east signifies to the truths of love. 3761. And Jacob lifted up his feet. That this signifies the elevation of the natural is evident from the signification of lifting up as being elevation, and from the signification of the feet as being the natural, concerning which and what follows. The elevation here signified is that treated of in this chapter, which is from external truth to internal good. In the supreme sense it is shown how the Lord elevated his natural even to the divine, according to order, by ascending from external truth through the degrees to internal good, and in the representative sense, how the Lord makes new the natural of man when he regenerates him, according to a similar order. That the man who is being regenerated in adult age advances according to the order described in the internal sense in this and the following chapters is known to few, for the reason that few reflect upon it, and also that few at this day can be regenerated. For these are the last times of the church, when there is no longer any charity, consequently not any faith. And this being the case, it is not even known what faith is, although it is on the lips of all that man is saved by faith. Still less is it known what charity is. And as these two are known merely as terms, and are unknown in respect to their essence, it is on this account said that few can reflect upon the order according to which man is made new, or is regenerated, and also that few can be regenerated. Because the natural is here treated of, and this is represented by Jacob, it is not said that he arose and went to the land of the sons of the east, but that he lifted up his feet. Both expressions signify elevation. That arising has this signification may be seen above, number 2401, 2785, 2912, 2927, 3171. But the reason why it is here said he lifted up his feet is that this is said with respect to the natural, for feet signify the natural, number 2162, 3147. That feet signify the natural or natural things comes from the correspondence with the grand man, which has been spoken of at the close of the preceding chapters, in which grand man they who belong to the province of the feet are those who are in natural light, but little in spiritual. Consequently, the parts under the feet, as the soles and the heels, signify the lowest natural things, see number 259. And hence the shoe, which is also occasionally mentioned in the word, signifies the corporeal natural, which is the ultimate, number 1748. 3762. And went to the land of the sons of the east. That this signifies to the truths of love, that is, elevation thereto, is evident from the signification of the land of the sons of the east. That Aram or Syria was called the land of the sons of the east is evident, because it was thither that Jacob betook himself, see number 3249. That by Syria in general are signified the cognitions of good was shown above, number 1232, 1234. But specifically by Aram Naharaim, that is, Syria of the rivers, are signified the cognitions of truth, number 3051, 3664. In this case, however, it is not said that he went to Aram or Syria, but to the land of the sons of the east, in order to signify what is treated of in this chapter throughout, namely an ascent to the truths of love. Those truths are called the truths of love, which have been elsewhere termed celestial truths, for they are cognitions that relate to charity toward the neighbor and love to the Lord. In the supreme sense in which the Lord is treated of, they are the truths of divine love. These truths that relate to charity toward the neighbor and to love to the Lord must be learned before it is possible for a man to be regenerated, and must also be acknowledged and believed. And in so far as they are acknowledged, believed, and engrafted in the life, so far the man is regenerated. And in so far, they are at the same time implanted in the man's natural, in which they are as in their own ground. They are first implanted therein through instruction by parents and teachers, next from the word of the Lord, and afterwards through the man's own reflection about them. But by these means they are merely stored up in the memory of the natural man, being classed among the cognitions therein, but still not acknowledged, believed, and engrafted, unless the life is in accordance with them. For in this case the man comes into affection, and in so far as he comes into affection from life, so far these truths are implanted in his natural as in their ground. The truths which are not thus implanted are indeed with the man, but are merely in his memory as a matter of mere cognition or history, which serves no other purpose than to be talked about and made the means of getting a reputation, which is to serve for the acquisition of riches and honors. But in this case, these truths are not implanted. That by the land of the sons of the east are signified the truths of love, thus the cognitions of truth which tend to good, may be seen from the signification of sons as being truths. See number 489, 491, 533, 1147, 2623. And from the signification of the east as being love, number 101, 1250, 3249. Their land is the ground in which they are. That the sons of the East are those who are in the cognitions of truth and good, and consequently in the truths of love, may be seen also from other passages in the Word, as in the first book of Kings. The wisdom of Solomon was multiplied more than the wisdom of all the sons of the East, and than all the wisdom of the Egyptians. 4, verse 30. Whereby the wisdom of the sons of the East are signified the interior cognitions of truth and good, thus those who are in them. But by the wisdom of the Egyptians is signified the science of the same, which is in a lower degree. That by the Egyptians are signified scientifics in general, may be seen, number 1164, 1165, 1462. In Jeremiah, thus saith Yahuwah, arise ye, go up against Kedar, lay waste the sons of the East. Their tents and their flocks they shall take their curtains and all their vessels and their camels. 49 verses 28 and 29. That by the sons of the East are here meant those who are in the cognitions of good and truth, is evident from the fact that they were to take their tents and flocks, also their curtains and all their vessels, and likewise their camels. For by tents are signified the holy things of good, number 414, 1102, 2145, 2152, 3312. By flocks, the goods of charity, number 343, 2566. By curtains, holy truths, number 2576, 3478. By vessels, truths of faith and scientifics, number 3068, 3079. By camels, scientifics in general, number 3048, 3071, 3143, 3145. Thus by the sons of the East are signified those who are in these things, that is, who are in the cognitions of good and truth. That the wise men from the East who came to Jesus at his birth were of those who were called the sons of the East is evident from the fact that they were in the cognition that the Lord was to be born, and that they knew of his advent by a star which appeared to them in the East, concerning which things we read in Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, behold, there came wise men from the East to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the East, and are come to worship him. 2 verses 1 and 2. That from ancient times such a prophetic knowledge had existed among the sons of the East who were of Syria is evident from Balaam's prophecy concerning the Lord's advent in Moses. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. There shall arise a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Numbers 24, verse 17. That Balaam was from the land of the sons of the East, that is from Syria, is evident from these words. Balaam uttered his enunciation and said, Balak hath brought me from Syria, out of the mountains of the East. Numbers 23, verse 7. Those wise men who came to Jesus at his birth are called Magi, but wise men were so called at that time, as is evident from many passages, such as Genesis 41, verse 8, Exodus 7, verse 11, Dan 2, verse 27, 4, verses 6 and 7, First Book of Kings 4, verse 30, and from the prophets throughout. That in the opposite sense the sons of the East signify the cognitions of evil and falsity, thus those who are in them, is evident in Isaiah. The envy of Ephraim shall depart, and the enemies of Judah shall be cut off. They shall fly on the shoulder of the Philistines toward the sea, and together shall they spoil the sons of the East. 11 verses 13 and 14. In Ezekiel, against the sons of Ammon, behold, I have delivered thee to the sons of the East for a possession, and they shall set their ordinances in thee. 25 verses 3 and 4. And in the book of Judges, when Israel sowed, Midian came up, and Amalek, and the sons of the East, they came up against him. 6 verse 3. Midian denotes those who are in falsity because not in the good of life. Number 3242. Amalek, those who are in falsities with which they assault truths. Number 1679. The sons of the East, those who are in the cognitions of falsity. 3763, verses 2 and 3. And he saw, and behold, a well in the field, and behold, there three droves of the flock lying by it. For out of that well they watered the droves, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And all the droves were gathered together thither, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock. And they put the stone in its place again upon the well's mouth. And he saw, signifies perception, and behold, a well, signifies the word, in the field, signifies for the churches, and behold, there three droves of the flock lying by it, signifies the holy things of churches and of doctrinal things. For out of that well they watered the droves, signifies that the science is thence derived. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth, signifies that it was closed. And all the droves were gathered together thither, signifies that all churches and their doctrinal things were thence derived. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, signifies that they opened it, and watered the flock, signifies that thence came doctrine. And they put the stone in its place again upon the well's mouth, signifies that meanwhile it was closed. 3764. And he saw. That this signifies perception is evident from the signification of seeing as being to perceive, concerning which below at verse 32, when treating of Reuben, who was so named from seeing. 3765. And behold, a well. That this signifies the word is evident from the signification of a well as being the word and also doctrine from the word. Number 2702, 3096, 3424. The word is here called a well because the natural is treated of, which regarded in itself apprehends the word solely as to the literal sense, whereas the word is called a fountain when the rational is treated of, by which the word can be perceived according to the internal sense. 3766. In the field. That this signifies for the churches is evident from the signification of a field as being the church as to good. Number 2971. In the word, the church is signified by land, ground, and field, but with a difference. The reason why field signifies the church is that the church as a field receives the seeds of good and truth. For the church has the word from which come these seeds. And this is the reason why everything in the field signifies that which is of the church, such as sowing, reaping, standing corn, wheat, barley, and other things, and this also with a difference. 3767. And behold, there are three droves of the flock lying by it. That this signifies the holy things of churches and of doctrinal things is evident from the signification of three as being that which is holy, number 720-901. And from the signification of droves of the flock as being those things which are of the church, thus doctrinal things. Specifically, a flock signifies those who are within the church and who learn and become imbued with the goods which are of charity and the truths which are of faith. And in this case, a shepherd signifies one who teaches these things. But in general, a flock signifies all those who are in good, thus who belong to the Lord's church in the universal world. And inasmuch as all these are introduced into good and truth by means of doctrinal things, therefore by a flock are also signified doctrinal things. For in the internal sense, the things which determine the quality of a man and the man himself who is of such a quality are meant by the same expression. For the subject, which is man, is understood from that by virtue of which he is man. For this reason it has been repeatedly stated that names signify actual things, and also signify those to whom such things appertain, as that Tyre and Zidon signify the cognitions of good and truth, and also those who are in such cognitions, and that Egypt signifies science, and Asher reasoning. Yet there are also understood those who are in these, and so with every other name. But the speech in heaven among the angels is effected by means of actual things without the idea of persons, thus by universals, and this for the reason that in this way they comprise countless things in their discourse, and especially is this the case because they attribute all good and truth to the Lord, and nothing to themselves, the result of which is that the ideas of their speech are not determined to any but the Lord alone. From all this we can now see whence it is that a flock is said to signify churches, and also doctrinal things. Droves of a flock are said to be lying by the well, because the doctrinal things are from the Word. That a well denotes the Word has been stated just above, number 3765. 3768. For out of that well they watered the droves. That this signifies that the science is thence derived, that is, from the Word, is evident from the signification of a well as being the Word, number 3765, and from the signification of watering or giving to drink as being to be instructed, number 3069, and from the signification of droves as being the science of doctrinal things, see number 3767. Hence it is evident that by watering the droves out of the well is signified that the science of the doctrinal things of good and truth is from the Word. In what now follows concerning Jacob, the Lord is treated of in the supreme sense, how he made his natural divine, and in this chapter the initiation is treated of. And in the internal representative sense, those who are being regenerated are treated of, how the Lord renews their natural man, and in this chapter the initiation is treated of. Therefore the subject here treated of is the Word and the doctrine thence derived, for initiation and regeneration are effected by means of doctrine from the Word. And inasmuch as these things are signified by a well and by three droves of the flock, therefore these are mentioned historically, which would have been of too trifling import to be mentioned in the divine word unless they had signified such things. What they unfold is evident, namely, that all the science and doctrine of good and truth are from the Word. The natural man can indeed know and also perceive what good and truth are, but only natural and civic good and truth. But spiritual good and truth he cannot know, because this must come from revelation, thus from the Word. For example, a man may know from the rational that is possessed by everyone that his neighbor ought to be loved and that God ought to be worshipped. But how the neighbor is to be loved and how God is to be worshipped, thus what spiritual good and truth are, can be known only from the Word. As that good itself is the neighbor, consequently they who are in good, and this according to the good in which they are, and that good is the neighbor because the Lord is in good, and therefore in the love of good the Lord is loved. In like manner they who have not the Word cannot know that all good is from the Lord, and that it inflows with man and causes the affection of good, and that this affection is called charity. Neither can they who have not the Word know who is the God of the universe, and that he is the Lord is hidden from them. When yet the inmost of affection or of charity, consequently the inmost of good, must look to him. From this it is evident what spiritual good is, and that this cannot be known except from the Word. With regard to the Gentiles, so long as they are in the world, they indeed do not know this. Nevertheless, while they live in mutual charity with one another, they thence derive such a capacity that in the other life they can be instructed concerning such matters, and they also easily receive and become imbued therewith. See number 2589 to 2604.